This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together in this time of worship. I know many of our folks are traveling this week. It's fall break for lots of our schools, so we pray safe travels for them and know that many of you are joining us over live stream this morning, so we're glad to be together in this time. I'd like to take a moment to invite you to register your attendance if you're with us this morning. If you're over live stream, you can copy the link that's there on the screen and place it in your browser and register that way. Here in the sanctuary, we have registration pads, and we invite you to pass those down and back again. If you are visiting with us and would like to learn a little bit more about our congregation and the ways that we're trying to love our neighbors in this community, share an email address or a mailing address with us, and we'll reach out to you and begin that conversation. Just a few announcements as we gather this morning. I want to invite you to join us this afternoon at Jefferson Street Missionary Baptist Church at 3 o'clock. The group called NOAA, which stands for Nashvillians Organized for Action and Hope, is convening a public meeting. Our mayor will be there, other public officials, to talk about our community and affordable housing and the development on East Bank and mental health care in our community. So this is a way for us to engage in building the beloved community right here among us, and we hope that you will join us. I know there's a bus leaving at 2:15. Are there seats on the bus if anybody wants to come to the church, 2:15, our church bus will be going together so you can ride with others. Next Saturday morning from 9 to 12, we'll have our annual Creation Care Recycling Day, and that's in the bulletin. You'll find the link you can go to find out all the sorts of things you can bring for recycling, even things like computers and so forth. So that's one thing we can do to help take care of God's good creation, and it's for us and our community. That's all as far as announcements go this morning. We continue our journey with Jesus toward Jerusalem, and this morning we follow him as he passes through an area in between, an area in the margins, and let's see who he encounters there. Let us open our hearts and minds to this story and to this time of worship together.
Thank you. Jesus, Savior, have mercy on us.
Where we
are isolated and excluded, bring us near.
Where
we are dying, bring us back to life.
Jesus, Savior, have mercy on us.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions with confidence as children of God. Merciful God, we are reminded of the times when you have been there for us. You have healed us. You have freed us. You have walked with us, even in the midst of our most challenging days. And yet, too often, we attribute our deliverance or our successes to our strivings rather than your grace. We forget to give you praise and thanks. We put our trust in the wrong places. We fail to help those neighbors journeying with us who are also needers in healing. Have mercy on us, O God. Bring us back to ourselves. Help us to be people who praise your name and people who offer mercy and grace to all. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Blake Adams and Jessica Lawson Adams bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Blake and Jessica, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people?
I do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
My friends in the congregation, Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. And what name have you given your son? Mm-hmm. It's okay. We talked about this for a minute. Let's see how this goes. It's okay. You want mommy to hold you? Okay, we can do it that way too. We wondered if that might happen. That's all right. Archer Bryn, I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will guide you all the days of your life. Amen. Now, Archer Bryn, we're going to take a minute and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. So we're going to ask Mom and Dad and Pastor Aaron to place a hand on you as we pray together. Archer Bryn, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, now Archer Bryn goes by Archie. So Archie and his mom and dad and I are going to take a little walk. And we're going to go stand in the midst of your church family. So let me lead the way. Archie,
look at all of these beautiful
faces. There's some watching us through that camera there. This is your church family. And they're about to make a promise to you that they're going to do everything they can to help you know how much God loves you, to help you know what it means, what it looks like to follow Jesus, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. They're going to make commitments to you to help teach Sunday school and lead Vacation Bible School. And maybe one of them here might be your confirmation mentor when you're in sixth grade. And so we're going to listen together as they make their promise to you.
Will the congregation please stand and face Archie Bryn? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Archer Bryn to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Archer Bryn, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel, Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were made clean. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God, except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God.
A moment with the children. So if you're here in the sanctuary, come on up and join me. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screen. Or if you're worshiping from Disney World or wherever you are, get a little closer to your screen and we'll have a moment together. Good morning. Good morning. Come on up. It's great to see all of you. I see everybody's starting to wear sweaters and jackets. It's getting colder, isn't it? I love fall weather. Oh, you know, I wake up really early on Sunday mornings, so I have breakfast really early. And even at 9 o'clock, I'm starting to get a little hungry. Are you hungry too? I'm really hungry. Does anybody have a snack that I could... Look, here's Pastor Nancy. You ate rainbow Cheerios? Oh, that sounds so good. That makes me so hungry. Oh, yummy.
I have an apple.
You please, 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 yes. May I have that apple? Oh, wow, this is an apple. Yum, I'm getting ready to take a bite of it. You know what, though? I forgot something. I said, "Please, can I have that apple?" And then I turned around and started to eat it. Did I forget to say something to Nancy? What should I say, Ella? I should say thank you. Thank you so much for this apple. That was so nice of you to give me this apple since I'm so hungry. And you know what? That's something that my parents taught me, and I bet your parents have taught you too, that the most important things we can say to people are please and thank you. And sometimes I forget to say thank you. But when I say thank you to Nancy, it helps me feel closer to her and like makes our friendship even better. And so I always want to remember to say thank you and not just take something and eat it without saying thank you. This morning we heard a story about a group of people that were healed by Jesus, and only one of them turned around to tell him thank you. But that made a big difference in his life because now he had a new friend in Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the many, many blessings of this life. Help us to be always ready to thank you, to say thank you and be grateful. For that helps us feel closer to you and to other people too. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie or Pastor Nancy. Great. Well, you get to go to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back to sitting with your parents or friends. I like hearing what everybody had for breakfast. It does make me hungry, though. Bye. In our scripture reading this morning, we are in the 17th chapter of Luke, and we're on a journey with Jesus that he's been on since chapter 9. In chapter 9, he left Galilee and began making his way to Jerusalem. And we find him this morning in an in-between place. He's walking, you might say, in the margins, somewhere between Jewish country and Samaritan country. Now, we know that the Jews and the Samaritans in those days did not really want to associate with each other. They had a lot of reasons to be enemies, and so they lived pretty separately. And so here Jesus is walking through the space created by two different peoples who didn't want to associate with each other. And as he's walking through the margins, he meets a group of folks. A group of folks who are also in the margins, somewhere in between their communities. They are 10 people who have leprosy. And the tradition was that a person who had leprosy was exiled from their community. Because the disease was understood to be very contagious, they had to keep their distance from people. If they were to pass through an area with others, they had to cover their mouths and shout out, "Unclean, unclean," so that others could keep their distance. So it's no surprise, really, that these 10 people with leprosy found each other in the margins. And because they all had leprosy, they were able to create a little community together. We know that some of them were Jews, and at least one of them was a Samaritan. And so these labels that they wore out in the world, that I'm a Jew or I'm a Samaritan, just fell away when they got sick. And they joined together in their mutual need. And they cried out together with one voice as Jesus passed by. The Greek word here is actually they raised a voice. With one heart and one voice, they cried out, "Help us, Lord, please have mercy on us." There's something rather beautiful about that, I think. That in the margins, these folks can find each other and build a community. That they can recognize together their shared suffering, their shared need, and cry out with one voice for mercy. In some ways, it's a beautiful image for the church, that we are all people in need. We're all people living in the margins. D.T. Niles was an Indian pastor and theologian born in Sri Lanka. And he was known to have said that Christianity is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Or as others have said, we are all equal at the foot of the cross. That we all have the same deep need and the deep thirst for God's love, for God's mercy. We're all broken in different ways. We are all people in need of mercy. And that unites us together. And when we gather as the church, all of the labels that society would put on us fall away. That's, I think, a beautiful image of what the church can be. So we have this band of 10 people with leprosy who form this little community. They cry out to Jesus for mercy, and Jesus, being Jesus, sees them and hears them and heals them. He just tells them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, this may have been a different practice for Jews and Samaritans, but for the Jews at least, if a person had leprosy and they thought that they had been cured, they could show themselves to the priest at the temple, and it was up to the priest to determine, yes, you're clean again. They had to wait for the permission of the priest to re-enter society, to go back to living with their families and going back to worshiping at the temple and going back to their lives as they were. So that may be one reason why Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest, go back to the lives that you had before. And they all start to do that, but as they are on their way, as they're on the journey, that is when they realize they're cleansed. Their leprosy is gone. Now, the story could end right there and be a beautiful story of healing. It would be much like the healing stories we hear in other places in the Gospels. Someone is sick, someone is in need, they cry out to Jesus, "Heal me, give me my sight, take away my disease." Jesus heals them and sends them on their way. It's a beautiful story. But the story doesn't end there this time. There's something more that Luke wants to tell us, and perhaps to teach us, in this encounter. The first part of the story seems to be about this community of misfits in the margins. It seems to be about Jesus' healing power and Jesus' compassion. And the second half of the story seems to be about the response to the miracle. Now, there are nine who respond one way and one who responds another way. And I don't want to cast judgment on any of the ten. I don't know that Jesus judges them. They were healed. But perhaps there's something the nine missed out on that the one received. Perhaps Luke is wanting to invite us to consider the response of the one, that we might grow in a deeper relationship with God and understanding of who God is in our lives. But let's look at the nine first. The nine continue on their way. They presumably go to the temple, they get ruled by the priest to be clean, and they go back to the lives they had before. For them, the interaction with Jesus was more like a transaction. They needed help, they asked for help, they got help, and they went back to their lives the way they were before. That's what they wanted, and that's what they got. I wonder, too, if perhaps among the nine there was a sense of entitlement. I lost the life I had. I deserve to get it back. I didn't deserve to get leprosy. And so when they receive their healing, they don't say thank you. They don't have that response of gratitude because it's what they deserved. The story doesn't say that. I just wonder. But the one had a different response. When he looked down and saw that his leprosy was cleansed, he turned around. And in that movement, it's as if his whole life turns around. Because suddenly it's not about going back to the life he had, but going in a new direction. He turned around because he wanted to thank Jesus. It wasn't as much it was a transaction and he got what he wanted. It wasn't just that he got the gift. He wanted to know the giver. It wasn't just that he got healed. He wanted to thank the healer. He wanted to glorify God. The story tells us that it was like a bodily response of joy and worship to glorify God. And then he throws himself at Jesus' feet, prostrates himself at Jesus' feet to thank him. And so rather than just a transaction, his life has changed. He is in a new relationship with God through Jesus. And I just have to wonder if he started following Jesus, if he joined that band of disciples that were following Jesus all the way to Jerusalem. I wish I knew more about his story. And I look at these two responses. The story says the nine were cleansed, but the one was healed, was saved, was made whole. That's the word used to describe him. And I have to wonder, which one am I? And I have to confess, honestly, much of the time I am more like the nine than I am the one. I pray to God to help me, to help our world, to do this, to answer my prayers, and sometimes it's more of a transaction. If I get what I've been praying for, I sometimes forget to return and give thanks to God. There is within me at times a sense of entitlement and the life I deserve. And if something knocks me off that path, I pray that it would be removed so I can get back to the life I had, the life I think I deserve. And I forget to give thanks. I think about how many opportunities I have every Sunday in worship to give praise to God with my whole body, to say thank you to God. As Nancy said this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God, was my response. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. When I do the communion liturgy, I say the words, it is good, it is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, loving God. But do I really always and everywhere give thanks to you, loving God? When was the last time I had that kind of bodily response of gratitude and praise and thanksgiving to God for who God is? And how often instead do I sit in worship in a spirit of critique and entitlement and, oh, that didn't go well? And so this story convicts me, and I want to know more about this one. What was it in him that inspired him to turn around and to be grateful and to praise God? I wonder if some of it had to do with the fact that he was a Samaritan. That maybe he didn't have any priest to go to check the box to tell him he was okay. Maybe he knew that once they all went back to their regular lives, he would still be in the margins. He would still be an outcast. Maybe in Jesus, he found the place, the person who would welcome him and give him new life just as he was and still disregard the labels or love him because of who he was. And I think about throughout my ministry the people I've encountered who are the most grateful, who are the quickest to praise God, are often those who've been marginalized. When I take communion to the prison and I hear those inmates talk about how good it tastes and how much it means to be included in that sacrament and seen by the people and by the church of God. When I take communion to the bedside of someone who hasn't been able to come to worship for a long time because of their health, and it tastes so sweet, and they're so grateful because they haven't had that opportunity. When I offer communion at our booth at the Pride Festival, every year someone says, I haven't had communion in years because my church doesn't welcome me anymore. And to see how sweet it tastes to be included at the table and to know there's a community of faith where everybody's welcome. It quenches a thirst. And sometimes I forget that I too am thirsty, that I too need the grace of God, that I too have every reason in the world to be grateful. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or here in the sanctuary, you can fill out a gray card. They're located in the pew racks in front of you, and you can place those in the offering plates as they're passed down in a few moments. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We give you thanks for the ways in which your healing love is at work in our world, making all things new. We thank you, too, that you are never far from us and that our lives are enfolded in your care. We pray this day for those who seek healing, whether in body, mind, or spirit. For those who struggle with chronic pain and illness, as well as those with acute needs whose lives hang in the balance. For those struggling with addiction, and for those whose mental health is suffering. For those who feel lonely, for those who feel despair, for those who feel ashamed, and for those who have more questions than answers. For all of these, O God, we ask your mercy, your grace, and your peace. We pray too this day for the helpers and healers in our world, for doctors, nurses, and medical staff, for emergency responders, for therapists and counselors, for social workers and for faith leaders. May they be sustained in their work and find fulfillment in caring for your people. O God, give all of us compassionate hearts, that when we see pain and injustice in our world, we might turn toward your hurting people and do what we can to alleviate their suffering. Help us to remember all that you have done for us, that we might offer our thanks and praise in all times and in all places, and draw closer in relationship with you. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. For those of you joining us online, you're invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy this morning to the God who has been so generous to us.
our time of worship comes to a close, there are some who will choose to return to your seats and listen to the final voluntary as a final act of worship. There are others of you who may need to go on to Sunday school or spend some time in fellowship in Reed Hall or the Narthex, and all of that is okay. Especially if you're visiting with us, we want you to know how to do that. But it is time for all of us, as we come to this time of worship's end, to remember to say thanks, to be people shaped by gratitude, who love not only the healing, but the healer. May we go forth to be healers, to share that love, to share the good news of the giver of all good gifts. Go in peace.